And I thank you for those that were here Sunday night and put up with me for a short while then. And Pastor called me or texted me last night. He said, "Brother, I'm out of options." He said, I need some help. Could you help?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Not a problem. I'll see that it gets done. Me and the Lord will work it out." So as long as the Lord leads, and He always does. And I praise God. I've got a little teaching I want to do tonight. And it ties in a little bit about what I talked about Sunday night. It's not the same thing. It does have some of it in a nutshell. But I want to run over just a few scriptures. And we're going to be reading in just a few minutes from 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to start probably with verse 5. And as most teachers and preachers do, they usually read more scriptures than that. But we'll probably start with verse 5. 1 John chapter 1. And I'll give you a minute to get there. You know, everything in the Bible has been given to us to help us and enable us to enjoy a relationship with God. Everything. It's all tied together with our relationship with God. Everything in the Bible, every word, every scripture, every verse, every dot is tied into our relationship with God. And God's top priority for your life, my life, everybody else's life is to walk in fellowship. That was the purpose of creation, for God to have somebody to fellowship with. He wanted some children. So He created man to have somebody to fellowship with. Excuse me. I'm not going to stand up here and choke like I did Sunday night. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. But I'm going to read a little bit about fellowshipping with Him and one another. Because He wants us to fellowship with Him, but He wants us to share that fellowship. He wants us to share that fellowship with our brothers and our sisters. So in chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm probably going to be reading through somewhere in chapter 2. We'll start with verse 5 in chapter 1. "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Well, we all know that. God is light. There's no darkness in God. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Now, this is something that you'll see in John's writings, that he's very adamant about walking a straight line and walking close to God. That's what you see. It's very prevalent in John's writings. He said either you're in or you're out. Either you're light or you're dark. You're either salt or you're not. So, moving on to verse 7. "We walk in the light as He is light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Well, I mentioned that Sunday night. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It has, it did, and it still does. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's in Scripture in several places. You can find it in more places than here in the Bible. That if we say we have no sin in us, then we're deceiving ourselves. And John has pointed that out very clearly here. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful." This is an important verse, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That says all unrighteousness. And unrighteousness, of course, is sin. So, He is faithful. It says confess. And I'll get into that confession just a little bit later. Verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." Okay? He's kind of re-saying what he just said before again in different words. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Amen. Powerful scripture here. Powerful words. In verse 2, chapter 1, he's talking about the, he's actually talking about scripture in here, that the whole scripture is written for us to be able to walk in fellowship with God, like I said. But I had a question, and I had a question or two Sunday night about some of the things I was teaching on, and I'm glad I did. If I don't get a question once in a while, I figure everybody's asleep or bored or not paying attention, or I didn't get the message across. So I had a few questions, and one question was, how can God use a person like me? This is a question. How can God use me? I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough. And a lot of people feel that way, and that's what I really spoke about. That's your own thinking. God doesn't think that way. He doesn't see us in the physical form, the imperfect flesh form that we're in. He sees our spirit man that we already know is alive and well, and it's sealed by the Spirit, just like you seal up in a preserves or a jar of preserves. And you put the lid on it, you seal it with paraffin or whatever you seal it with. Your soul is sealed in the Spirit, just like that. I mean, not your soul, your spirit. I keep saying soul and spirit. Your spirit is sealed from sin, protected from sin, just like that. And God sees it as perfect. He sees it as holy. He looks down on you, he sees you as holy, just like he sees Jesus as holy. But anyway, how can a God use an imperfect person like me? Well, I'm going to try to explain a little bit about what it takes. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. We talked about that Sunday night. You accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, becomes alive. Your spirit man is reborn. That's where you have a rebirth. Your spirit man becomes alive and you have a rebirth. You have a new heart, a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ. All these things. There's all kinds of different words for it, all kinds of different sayings for it, but it means the same thing. You're reborn inside your heart. Your spirit man is made alive and well. Your old spirit man is dead to sin, dead in sin. That sin is forgiven. Your new spirit man is made alive and well. And the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you. Well, through him, which is the Holy Spirit, he enables you to do everything he asks, making the possibilities for service endless. He enables you. God doesn't ask you to do anything that he doesn't enable you to do. It's just like a football player goes out on the field. The coaches are not going to send the football player out on the field if they haven't got them fully dressed out with all the protection, all the shoulder pads and the hip pads, and they got kidney pads and everything that you can think of, a helmet that's supposed to protect them from brain damage when they butt heads. They're protected. They're given everything they need to do their job. When they go in the military and they send a person out to fight a battle, they arm them with everything possible that they can provide them with to protect themselves, to arm themselves, and do their job, whether it's on the battlefield, whether it's in the air, whether it's on the sea, or whether it's in an office or a command post, giving orders from a command post, whether it's flying a drone. They educate them, and they give them everything they need to do the job that they have to do. And the Holy Spirit does the same thing with you. And he gives you the instruction book is right there in the Holy Bible. That's the instruction book. And the Holy Spirit gives you everything you need to do whatever service he asks you to do. Now, if you've been sitting on the sidelines and let sin and shame and discouragement, perhaps you feel as though God can't use you. You feel like you're a broken vessel. Well, I got news for you, and I've said this before in times that I've spoken. We're all a bunch of crackpots. All our vessels have cracks in them. All of them have flaws. All of them has thin places and thick places, and all of us are flawed vessels. Every one of us is in the flesh. All of us are. It's not a one of us. That's why we sin, because we're a flawed vessel. And God knows that. He knew that from the beginning. He knew that before he ever reached out to you with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, he chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. He said, that's one I want. Boom. He chose you, and he sent the high sheriff, the Holy Spirit, to arrest your soul, arrest your spirit, and arrest your body, and bring it into submission to him, to try to learn how to love and lean towards him. And that's what he's done. He's used a broken vessel. But he equips you. Don't let these feelings overshadow the truth. The truth is, God's big enough to forgive you, restore you, and use you to restore others. This verse I read in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That says all unrighteousness. He doesn't leave anything out. There's no parts in your heart, no chambers. We've got deep chambers in our heart, and none of them have not been cleaned. There's no corners that got cobwebs in them. There's no spots that have not been polished. There's nothing. All about your heart has not been renewed and not clean. You know, King David wrote in the Psalms and said, renew in me a clean heart. Well, he had to ask God to do that. We don't have to ask him, because he does it anyway whenever you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. You know what confession means? You know what it is when you confess? Why does he ask you to confess? Why do you confess? When you go in a courtroom and you plead guilty to a crime, you confess to it. Is that right? Yeah, you confess to it. Have you ever, maybe you can remember back when you were a kid, or maybe you remember your children, or maybe you can remember a niece or a nephew, and they did something wrong. My boys, I remember one time, we lived here in Edward over here where the fire tower is, and we had a cat. A little old cat was about half grown, just took up around there. You know how cats, they just show up. You don't have to buy one. If you put something out for them to eat, they'll show up. Somebody will ride by and throw one out, or they'll pull up in your driveway and he'll hop out from under the car, and there you'll have a cat, whether you want one or not. Well, we had a cat. I came home from work one day, and this cat was, he was a pretty cat. He was white and yellow and white. And I come home from work one day, and there was this ugly cat in the yard. That thing was brown and black and just the ugliest old cat you'd ever seen. I had never seen such an ugly cat. And I asked Patrick, I said, where'd that ugly cat come from? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Patrick was probably 6 or 7 years old, maybe. I don't know, Daddy. I don't know. I said, well, where's our cat at? I don't know. And I got to looking at that cat, and he come over there and rubbing up against my leg, and all of a sudden my pants leg had dirt on it. It was nasty. And he had taken that cat. We had an old heater out in the barn there, and he had taken that cat and throwed it in that heater. That old heater, and it was full of smut. Yeah, the old heater smut. It was old oil heater, and he put that cat in that heater, and he was smutted, and that cat had turned from yellow to black. I didn't even recognize the cat. But I said, boy, what have you done to that cat? And boy, he went crying. I'm sorry, Daddy. I didn't know. I throwed that cat in the heater and I blah, blah, blah. And he confessed. Now, when he confessed, he felt better, because he was carrying all that guilt. He felt guilty. When I drove up, And I saw that cat and I asked him, whose cat was that? He told a lie. Okay? And one lie led to another. I said, well, where's our cat? He said, I don't know. So that was two lies. See? And that's the way we do. That's the way we are. When we've sinned, when we've done something wrong, the word says, it says right there in Scripture, the easiest thing and the best thing for you to do is to go ahead and confess that sin and get it out of the way. Because if you don't confess it, the devil's going to use it against you. See what I'm talking about? He's going to use it against you. And one lie is going to lead to another. One wrong is going to lead to another wrong. And two wrongs don't make a right. So, anyway, he fessed up. And I said, well, son, I reckon the old cat will be all right. He's got a tongue. He can lick himself clean. He'll be yellow again by tomorrow. And he was. He cleaned himself right up. They have a tendency to do that. That's just a cat. No matter how grimy they get, they clean themselves up. Now, we don't have a tendency to do that. Jesus Christ has cleaned us up. He's already cleaned us up, and God sees us as clean, no matter how dirty we get on the outside, no matter how dirty we get in the flesh. God sees us as clean, holy, and righteous. Praise God. So, anyway, let me move on. That's why I like that verse. Confess. Get it out of the way. And then the devil can't use it against you. He can't use it against you. You cut him off at the knees whenever you confess to your sins. And then, after you confess, you repent. And you turn from it. You turn away. Repent means to turn from. To turn away from. You turn from it and you go in a different direction. Praise God. All right, once you have confessed and turned from your sin, you're clean. But God does not purify you and empower you with the Holy Spirit merely to make you feel good. He don't do it just to make you feel good. He's not doing it just for you to have a happy moment. God's purification process fulfills the Scriptures and equips His children for service. You know, I said last night, or Sunday night, I said it's not about responsibility, it's about ability. Ability in the church. And that's in service. The question is not, do I have the power? It is, how will I use the power? Because you've got the power. You got the Holy Spirit in you, and you've got the power of the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Holy Spirit needs for you to do. No more and no less. All right. Once you're asking the right questions, you need to understand a few things to make it clear. You're asking the right questions. The question is, how can God use an imperfect person like me? All right, you need to know a few things. One thing, you need to know your inadequacy. All right, you don't need to dwell on, stand around mullygrubbing about being, I'm not good enough. You understand you're inadequate, and the only reason you're inadequate is if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. You're inadequate on your own. God can't use you if you're walking in the flesh. Okay? But, hallelujah, know with the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, you're incapable of accomplishing anything. But with the Holy Spirit, you can do whatever He asks you to do. Without Him, you're just spinning in circles. That's all you're doing. You're spinning in circles, not accomplishing anything. You're acting holy, but you're not being holy. All right, another thing, purity of life. Purity of life. A lot of people get purity and perfection mixed up. Okay, they're two different things. Purity of life, you don't want to confuse the two. Purity is what you receive immediately upon confession and repentance of sin. When Jesus Christ saved your soul, your spirit. I, I, I get that wrong every time. Your spirit, when your spirit man is saved, you receive that purity of life in your spirit man. It's made pure, pure and holy. But I can assure you, your soul and your flesh are not walking in perfection. There was only one perfect man walked the earth. And he walked it for a number of years, and they crucified him. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, and his spirit is living inside of you. He's the only perfect man. Now, there will come a day. There will come a resurrection day when all things will be made perfect. And that's whenever you see Jesus face to face, when he comes and calls his children home, you'll receive a glorified body that will be perfect. There won't be no sickness. There won't be no wrinkles. You'll have a perfectly smooth skin. You'll have perfect eyesight, perfect hearing. And your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, will know all things. You'll know everything that is about this Bible. You'll know everything that God knows. He'll teach you all. He'll instantly teach you all things. And that's when you'll become perfect. You'll become perfected. Just like Jesus Christ. That'll be a wonderful time. That's what we've got to look forward to. That's the hope that we have to look forward to. Praise God. All right, prayer. When you're willing and genuinely acknowledge your inadequacy and you will consistently reach up to God through prayer, you know that He's your lifeline and that you cannot live without Him. Now, these are the things that you need to know and you need to do in order to for God to use an imperfect person. You need to have a prayer line directly to God. You need to use it on a regular basis. Again, you need to understand that you're nothing without the Holy Spirit. You need to know that your spirit man is pure and holy. The spirit that lives inside of you, you need to have a prayer line with God. Pray often. Pray for whatever you need. And then you need to believe. You had to have belief. Jesus tells us that all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's Matthew 21 and 22. When you ask according to God's will, okay, you got to be in God's will. You just can't ask for $10 million believing that God's going to give it to you. Because it may not be in God's will for you to handle it. Because He knows things that we don't know. And He may know that you can't handle $10 million. I let her try it one time, but at least part of it, 10% of 10 million would be all right with me. And after I give God his 10% and the government their 60%, I might have enough left to buy a new car. But anyway, praise God, I'd try it. But believe, you must believe that he will do what he says he will do. Engage in service. God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be eager to use it. Praise God. And when you get to have, as you have the power of the Holy Spirit, along comes with it. What comes with it is the fruits of the Spirit. The joy, the peace, the long suffering. All these things come along with it. And whether for ministry or one person or many, the power of God's Spirit changes. God's big enough to transform your heart and to save you from the bondage of sin. He's also big enough to cleanse you, help you rise above discouragement, and use you to influence the lives of others, all for His glory. Now, I'm going to wrap this thing up. We're not going to be here all night. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Short verses there, tied in with this, and we'll be through. But know who you are in Christ. Know who you are with the Holy Spirit living in you, that you can do all things. You can do anything to hold it. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 6. Colossians chapter 2. And the question, this leads to another question. The next question is, how do I partner with the Holy Spirit that's alive in me? How do you partner up with Him? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You're walking in His Spirit, same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Raised your spirit man from the dead. Made it alive. Living inside of you. Now this is what I had to finish up with. Again, the question, how do I partner with the Holy Spirit that's alive in me? How do I do all these other things I mentioned in the other scriptures there? How do I know? How do I live the Spirit-filled life? Well, the Spirit-filled life is a life of faith. It says it right there in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. It's all about faith, folks. That's what it boils down to. We believe that Jesus saved us from the guilt of sin and from the power of sin. He did both. Saved us from the guilt of sin and the power of sin. Then we trusted Him for forgiveness and for righteousness. He became our Savior from the penalties of our sin. He saved us from the penalties of our sins and the bondage of our sins. He's done all this, done it all for us. The Bible makes no distinction between the faith that saved us from the penalties of sin once for all and the faith that saves us from the power of sin every day. There's no difference. It's the same faith. There's one faith, and that faith covers it all. And that's the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith in God the Father, the faith in the God the Holy Spirit, believing that God will do as He promised. So let's get on with life. Let's carry on working for God, raising our families, making decisions, handling crises that come up every day, and knowing God is always in control and that He'll guide your every single step you take. And the way to get out and let God use you, the Holy Spirit use you and guide your life, is to take the first step with faith. And every journey that you take, whether it's 10,000 miles or from here to the front of this, the back of this church, starts with one step. One step. And that's all I have for tonight. I hope you got a little something out of it. I hope you are able to receive from the Holy Spirit. Pray to God. Develop that prayer life. And have faith. Believe God will do what He said He would do. Because He will. And there's nothing that He asks you to do that you can't do. And it may be something simple. It doesn't have to be big things. Because it takes little things to make big things. You know, I worked in the fire business for a long time. I still am in the fire business. Part of my job is fighting wildland fires. I'm a wildland firefighter. And I've always been told, ever since I started in that business 40 years ago, they always says it takes little fires to make big fires. Fires don't start big. They always start small. Always usually comes from a match or spark. And that's the way the Holy Spirit will use you. Let Him start that spark in you. Let Him light that match. And then you'll become the light of the world. Just like Jesus. Praise God. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord God, for these people tonight. I thank You for them coming, being a part of this service. I thank You for the prayers that's already been lifted up. I thank you for the prayers that's already being answered. Touch them, guide them, direct them as they go home. And Lord, let them be able to share Jesus with someone in their life every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.